Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome once again to As It Is. We come to you 7 days a week with interesting information from around the world. We always try to present it slowly and with words that are easy to understand. That lets you learn American English quickly. Today we have two stories for you. First, some exciting news from the American Space Agency. Then, we're off to South Africa. If you want to hear about some delicious food, you won't want to miss this one. If you're ready, let's listen and learn with the Voice of America. The head of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration says the space agency, also known as NASA, plans to land people on Mars in the 2030s. Charles Bolden is the administrator for NASA. He said that 5 years ago, President Obama set that goal for the space agency. Mr. Bolden spoke earlier this month at the Humans to Mars Summit 2015. In his words, the plan is clear. This plan is affordable, and this plan is sustainable. Ann Ball has more about the summit and some of its speakers.
Buzz Aldrin was the second man to step on the moon. He is retired from NASA, but is working to get humans to Mars. He told the summit that we need to stimulate the public to be supportive of a U.S. mission to Mars. The program, Mr. Aldrin said, needs to develop in a series of stages or steps over several years. NASA engineer Brett Drake said that is the idea that several private companies have offered. Explore Mars, Inc. is the group that organized the Humans to Mars Summit last week. The group released a study on the steps required to send people to Mars. They are a new space launch system, Orion spacecraft, a deep space environment for astronauts to live in, and new methods for entry, descent, and landing. Other new technologies needed are solar electric propulsion for power and a vehicle that could land people on Mars. NASA is already working with private partners to develop the technology needed to get humans to Mars. They are working to develop advanced propulsion and habitation, where and how people will live on Mars once they get there. One example is Lockheed Martin's Stepping Stones plan. It calls for beginning flights to the International Space Station using today's vehicles and Orion spacecraft. Later flights will land on Deimos, one of Mars' two moons. NASA also announced a Journey to Mars challenge. The agency is asking for ideas from the public on how to get people to Mars and how they can stay. The ideas could be about shelter, food, water, breathable air, communication, exercise, social relations, and medicine. NASA said people are encouraged to consider innovative and creative elements beyond these examples. The Mars rovers Curiosity and Opportunity are already providing much information as they move across the Martian surface. It is already known that at one point in time, Mars had conditions that could have supported life. NASA's Charles Bolden said that Mars just might help us to unravel the age-old mystery about whether life exists beyond Earth. I'm Ann Ball.
You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. As promised a few minutes ago, we are now headed for South Africa. Marcia James is here to tell us that many people down there have a taste for something they think is the best in the world. What could it be?
Johannesburg, South Africa is one of Africa's top cities in business and wealth. Its financial area is often called the richest square mile on the continent. As its wealth increases, so does the taste of its residents. Right now, demand is rising in Johannesburg for Kobe beef. Top cooks and professional meat cutters say it is the best beef in the world. It is definitely the most costly. The beef comes from Wagyu cattle in Japan's Kobe region. The beef's fat content makes it rich and melt in your mouth tender. Grayside Butchery in Johannesburg, butchers slice through carcasses, the remains of a dead cow. Caroline McCann is the owner of the meat store. She is a huge fan of Kobe beef. The Japanese taught her how to cook it. Drop thin pieces into boiling miso soup for a very brief time.
And with chopsticks, just 3 to 5 times, put the meat through the broth and enjoy. And you do. It is just delightful. It's incredibly creamy, almost like eating a slab of butter. So it's very rich. You certainly can't eat a lot of it.
Caroline McCann has visited Japan. She says the meat currently costs more than $1,000 a kilo on international markets. McCann says Kobe farmers understand that the better they feed and treat their animals, the better their beef will taste.
It's kind of the ultimate diet. So they have this wonderful massage once a day, and then they get fed beer every day. Most people I know would put their hands in the air and beg to be a Wagyu. And so what they get is they get roughly a liter and a half of hops every day. So it's a high carb, high sugar, which also helps them to bulk up.
An order is ready in the kitchen of a restaurant in Sandton, a wealthy area of Johannesburg. Businessman Dennis Atwood is eating Kobe-style steak.
It is of the best in the world. It's dry on the outside, but pleasant to eat. The flab is certainly intense.
Caroline McCann says Kobe-style beef is something that wealthy people from all over the world want.
The people that are looking for this are the same people that are very well-traveled, very well-read, very well-informed. They would have eaten at some of the top restaurants.
She says there also are a lot of people from elsewhere in Africa who visit Johannesburg for business, and they, too, want to eat Kobe beef.
So a lot of people from Ghana and Kenya and Congo who come with significant money, come with a significant understanding of food internationally, and they're also actively seeking out this kind of product.
Very soon, Caroline McCann says she is set to import Kobe-style beef from Australia, where Wagyu crossbreeds are growing. She plans to sell the beef for 1,300 rand, or more than $100 a kilo. But it will obviously sell for much more at restaurants. I'm Marcia James.
You are listening to The Voice of America. We come to you every day from Washington.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. A deaf and blind woman from Australia has become the first person to make a telephone call using a device that converts speech into Braille. Braille is a form of writing that uses raised dots on a surface that can be read by touching it. The technology is being tested for the first time in Australia and the United States. One test involved a simple phone call between two sisters. Michelle Stevens is deaf and blind. Ms. Stevens says the Braille telephone will end years of feeling isolated or feeling alone and apart from others. She is one of five Australians who is taking part in the new trials or tests. These trials will take place at about the same time in Australia and the United States, where the technology was developed. Ms. Stevens's vision suffered damage because she was born prematurely or born too soon. She lost her hearing from serious ear infections. The Braille telephone system, she said, will be a great help to her and others. Ms. Stevens told VOA's Phil Mercer that this telephone system will be one way to break the isolation of deaf blindness. She adds that with future developments, the phone system might be able to give deaf-blind people more job opportunities. Not being able to communicate in the office or on the telephone is a major employment barrier for people who are deaf-blind, said Ms. Stevens. However, the phone system is expensive. It costs about $2,500. The phones work by transferring spoken words onto what is called a dynamic Braille display. A similar trial will also take place in the United States in a few months. Christopher Engelke is a director with the U.S. company Ultratech. He will carry out the trial in the U.S. Mr. Engelke says the Braille phone system is an exciting project. He describes the system this way. A deaf person, or one who is hard of hearing, uses the phone just like any other phone. However, subtitles, or captions, of what is said appear on the phone's touch screen.
The way that the whole system works is a deaf or hard of hearing person who speaks for themselves would use the phone just like any other phone, except that much like getting subtitles on your TV, you get subtitles or captions to the conversation appearing on a screen, although for a Braille user, they could read those captions in Braille bumps on a dynamic Braille display, so they'd listen to as much as they can, speak with their own voice, and then read everything that's being said to them by reading the Braille on the phone itself.
Mr. Engelke explains that vision-impaired people would listen to as much as they can, speak with their own voice, and read everything that is being said to them from the Braille bumps on the phone. Developers of the device say it could change the lives of those who cannot see or hear. In Australia alone, it is estimated that there are 330,000 people who are deaf and blind. Some groups say that number is likely to reach 1.2 million by 2050. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report from VOA Learning English.